Health reporter Martha Rosenberg points out that Big Pharma hooks the U.S. public on prescriptions for life. Prescriptions, once used only as needed for pain, anxiety, GERD, gastroesophageal reflux, asthma, mood problems, migraines, and even erectile dysfunction, gout, and retroviruses, are now full-time medicines. Instead of having body pain to be treated transiently, you are put on an antidepressant like Cymbalta, or seizure drug like Lyrica, or Neurontin indefinitely, she said. Arianna Huffington, president and editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post Media Group, asked, "So why don't things ever change, even as the legal drug death toll mounts?" As always, the answer can be found by following the money. The big pharmaceutical companies continue to be the 800-pound gorillas of American politics, their power stemming from a muscular combination of lobbying, $150 million a year, campaign contributions, close to $50 million doled out to federal candidates over the past 4 years, and powerful friends in very high places. Donald Rumsfeld was formerly CEO of drug industry powerhouse G.D. Searle, and Mitch Daniels, the former White House budget director and now governor-elect of Indiana, was a senior vice president at Eli Lilly. Of course, the real shame is that we continue to have a regulatory system in which corporate greed, political timidity, and a culture of cronyism have rendered the public good a quaint afterthought. Even scarier than the drugs we have now are the ones that may be to come. Scientists in the U.S. and other countries are creating new and previously unknown viruses that could wipe out whole populations. A report issued in May 2014 by epidemiologists Mark Lipsitch of the Harvard School of Public Health and Allison Galvani of Yale noted labs around the world are creating and altering viruses to understand how natural strains might evolve into more lethal forms. These researchers have warned that the benefits of such experiments might be outweighed by the risk of pathogenic strains escaping from laboratories and spreading. The U.S. government, which funds many of these controversial experiments, instituted new rules that fund such work, provided the potential benefits are deemed substantial and the risks considered manageable. Lipsitch argues there is no evidence that the risks and benefits have been weighed properly. To my knowledge, no such thing has been done, but funding for these experiments continues, he said. Many people fear such experimentation might lead to a pandemic or fall into the hands of bioterrorists. Both the government and funding organizations should employ unbiased experts to assess which viral studies to support, yet this is not happening. With the recent spread of infectious diseases such as Ebola, this issue has been thrust into the public consciousness, and it's clear the U.S. government lacks a comprehensive system to determine which activities are safe and which are not.